Thank you for joining us on Rochester Speaks. I'm Kevin Gillen. Problem or compulsive gambling is an urge to gamble despite negative consequences or desire to stop gambling. And we are joined again today by Director of DePaul's National Council on Alcoholism and Drug Dependence, Rochester area, Jennifer Ferringer. Welcome back.
Thank you, Kevin. It's good to be back.
A different way this time for obvious reasons over the telly.
Yes.
So tell us how gambling ties in with the National Council on Alcoholism and Drug Dependence.
So it's yet another addiction. For years, our focus was alcohol and other drugs. It still is our main focus. But over a decade ago, we started incorporating problem gambling, addiction, work, education. There's so many parallels. It was just a logical thing to do.
And tell us a little bit about DePaul.
The larger DePaul is mental health, senior living, housing. It's a huge organization all through upstate New York into North Carolina. And we're the very small part of DePaul that deals solely with addictions.
And how are you guys funded?
Through the state.
Okay.
Federal, state, and then local, and then to us.
And when was gambling determined to be an addictive disorder? And, you know, when was it classified as such?
It's been a while. The only thing that's changed really recently are the diagnostic features, but it's been part of, in terms of mental health, it's been considered a disorder for a while. Originally it was called pathological gambling, and now gambling disorder is the new terminology. It's been for decades, really.
And why is it called the silent addiction? I think I know why, and I remember why from your past visits, but let everybody know.
Yeah, so it's a silent addiction because it doesn't have the visual cues that so many drugs or alcohol. Alcohol, you smell it on someone's breath. You might see someone weaving. With drugs, you might see, especially with the heroin epidemic that's happening now, you might notice track marks, the pinpoint pupils. You know, there's some real visible signs. With gambling, not so much. We call it the silent addiction because often it goes unnoticed. There's no visible cues.
And what are the myths you think about problem gambling that people might just say, well, it's not really an issue when perhaps it really is?
Yeah. So there's different types of gambling, and certainly there are those that can socially gamble. You know, you can go to a, well, you can't now, but you could go to a casino and you could say, I've got $25 or I've got a roll of quarters. And when I spend that, that's it. That's more of a social gambler. I'm going there for dinner to see a show, so I've got something else on my mind. Problem gambler, when you get into that point, now you're spending more and more time. So you might still be in the mindset, oh, it's social, I can control it. But when it starts to control you, that's when it becomes a problem. And you find, and you might not even be aware of it, you're spending more and more time devoted to gambling till you get to the point of gambling disorder when it's like an uncontrollable preoccupation and an urge to gamble at every opportunity with sports, the gambling. There's so many different forms of gambling.
Yeah. And 30% of the population doesn't even gamble at all, not even a little bit. But
right.
A small percentage of the gamblers actually accounts for a vast majority of the wagers.
Exactly. So you figure when the industry is marketing, who are they trying to attract? Who do they comp to come, for example, to Las Vegas? They're not going to comp somebody who doesn't gamble. They're not going to comp somebody who gambles occasionally with a limit, very small amounts. They're going to go after the gambler with a problem, that 10% of the population that really is responsible for the largest portion of the wagers.
Right.
That's where their revenue is coming from. It's to their advantage to target that person who already is at the point of it's uncontrollable for them.
Yeah. So they're not going to come right out and say it, but in fact, they're kind of banking their success on people who have problems gambling.
They're exactly doing that. Yeah. It's true with any addiction. I mean, same thing with alcohol, which I know we're not talking about now, but it's the same thing. A very small part of the population that has alcohol use disorder is responsible for the largest amount of alcohol consumed. So therefore, the industry targets the person with the most problems, who's most at risk.
Right. And the types of gambling define and differentiate action gambling and escape gambling.
So two types. Action is really the gambler who is betting on sports, poker, dice. And they're an individual that says, you know, I got this. I got the game. I've got the skill. So whether real or perceived, they're perceiving they have a great deal of control about the outcome. Escape gambling is more passive. So that's the person that's standing in front of the VLT, the video lottery terminal, the bingo, slots, poker, scratch-offs. You know, so it's more of a passive form than the action gambling.
Yeah. And what about folks who might go to a casino night benefit for an organization, or even people that play the state lottery that's sort of like gambling for a good cause?
You know, again, you've got the categories. If somebody is a social gambler, they're going to gamble maybe once or twice. It's insignificant. The big defining thing is they have a limit and they stick to it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they go in it with a mindset. This is what I'm going to, like, I'm going to buy two scratch-offs or three scratch-offs, or I'm going to spend this roll of quarters, and when I'm done, I'm done. I'm not going to go to my brother-in-law or my wife. I'm not going to borrow money so I can gamble more. You know, it's that sense of limit and control when you're a social gambler.
And there's folks, too, who obviously they play a Super Bowl pool at work or a March Madness bracket. How do you classify that?
Well, again, it depends on where they're at. Are they doing it once or twice? Have they got a limit? Or are they doing it throughout the month of March with no limits? It really depends on someone's preoccupation with the gambling, the amount of time, the amount of energy, the amount of focus that's devoted to gambling.
And you mentioned there's not as evident of warning signs for problem gamblers, but there are some.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. So really, they're more hidden. They're more, you know, the stress, the depression. When someone realizes, gets to the point that they've gambled so much, they've really jeopardized the health and safety of their family by maybe putting their house into a second or third mortgage, or maybe they were saving for their child's college. They had a 521 that they've tanked, they've emptied. Maybe the spouse has no idea until he or she goes to the bank to withdraw money from an account who no longer exists. So at that point in time, it's extreme, you know, it's shame. It's guilt with where they've come, and they become really overwhelmed when they realize that they've gambled away their family's security and their family's savings. And that's typically the point when somebody will reach out and call or reach out to one of the Gamblers Anonymous meetings.
That's when problem gambling kind of has some consequences that can obviously affect, as you mentioned, families, work, et cetera.
Absolutely. And workplace might go unhidden for a while. Say the person is the bookkeeper or the CFO and they're keeping track, you know, so it might be easy for them or easier to funnel away bits and bits and bits until they're caught, you know, and it might be a case of, well, I was just going to do it once, and then once became twice and three times. And
right.
You know, so embezzlement. Or loss of productivity, because it's pretty difficult to be productive when you're always worried about your gambling debts and when's the next time you can gamble.
Yeah. And more kids are gambling. How is that happening?
Yeah, there's a big increase in accessibility for kids. So typically a kid isn't going to walk in a casino. There's age limits. But with our handy-dandy phones, you can gamble right on your phone. You don't need on your computer. There's a huge surge in gaming, so games on your phone. And a lot of them are nothing more than training grounds to get kids used to gambling, so to speak. So it's a game, and it's a game in the beginning that you're just playing. But the kinds of gaming that are training kids or initiating them into gambling are those that show, you know, you're collecting maybe widgets, and at the top corner, it might pop up after a while. Now, if you were to go get a credit card, these widgets would actually become money that
you're
earning. You know, so it's like that transition, that training ground to get someone accustomed to gambling, and it's easy. It's on your phone. It's hidden. No one need be aware.
Yeah, and a couple numbers you provided. 39% of kids age 12 to 17 say they've gambled in the last year, and 30% have gambled before age 10.
Yeah, and that might be something as innocuous as, you know, what do we see around the holidays, around Christmas time and such? Give a gift, give a lottery card, give scratch-offs. And if families don't think about the messages they're giving kids by kind of normalizing it, well, you might be playing a poker game or a casino game at home. So kids are starting early. When they're starting that early, typically they're starting with their families.
And the earlier a kid starts, the more likely he's going to have a problem later on.
Yes, and that's true with any addiction. So the research is definitely there. You start early before the brain has really come together, your decision-making skills, which is pretty late. It's anywhere from 22, 23, 24, 25 in that range. So if somebody starts with any addiction, we're talking about gambling now, when that hasn't all coalesced, the likelihood that that young person will have a problem that goes beyond is increased, and that they will have a problem later on is increased. And then there's a relationship with gambling and other addictions too.
Right. And so how has the COVID-19 pandemic affected gambling?
There's always a place to gamble. So actually gambling, all the addictions have surged during COVID.
Huh.
You know, part of that is people are isolated. They're at home. Their normal social activities have been restricted and limited. So I have less data on gambling, but in terms of gambling opportunities, again, you've got your phone, and what are we doing all the time? We're Zooming all the time, right? We're using our social media because that's about the only thing we've been able to use during this time of shutdown. During that time, people gravitated towards social media and the opportunities didn't go away. Other opportunities that are online are doing quite well.
Huh, interesting. How has legalized sports betting affected problem gambling?
That's going to be surging. So again, it's for the person that has a problem with problem gambling. And anytime there's a new opportunity, you know that the use or the frequency of gambling is going to go up. So anytime you increase the opportunities, you're going to increase gambling. That kind of goes without saying.
Right. Finally, what does DePaul do for problem gamblers and their families?
NCADD at the National Council on Alcoholism, what we do is provide education. So we're a prevention education program. So if a school or a youth group or a parent group, if they were looking to learn more about problem gambling, we could do a presentation, provide a presentation. We've been doing more and more social media ourselves. We have a new Facebook page. So I'd encourage people to take a look at that. You'll find all kinds of information on a variety of addictions to include problem gambling and to include resources to combat some of the social isolation around COVID. Also, our website, there is a whole page devoted to problem gambling and resources. And then additionally, in Rochester, in the Finger Lakes region, relatively new in town is the Finger Lakes Problem Gambling Resource Center.
Hmm.
So there's multiple resources. What has been difficult for folks to get to, those that do have a problem and are trying to get help, you can still access help through treatment. So treatment has not gone away. Treatment has been working through all of this. But the GA meetings, it's been kind of hard because they rely typically on organizations or churches to open the doors to have open meetings. We host a problem gambling meeting Tuesday at noon.
And I know your number is 719-3480, but is there a Gamblers Anonymous hotline number?
I would recommend people Google Gamblers Anonymous.
Okay.
You can also go to our website, www.ncadd-ra.org. And if you go to the problem gambling page, you'll find a whole host of resources.
Right. Well, you guys are still doing great work. And again, it is ncadd-ra.org. Look under the awareness/problem gambling page. And we thank once again, Director of DePaul's National Council on Alcoholism and Drug Dependence, Rochester area, Jennifer Ferringer. Thanks for your time.
Thanks so much. Take care, Kevin.